of Proverbs chapter number 3. Might have noticed it's just a little bit warmer than usual in here this morning. And that's because, as I understand it, two of our four air units outside are not working right now. We are working on that problem. So I guess this is one of those times where we can either feel sorry for ourselves that only two of four are working, or we can be thankful that two of four are working. It does feel a little bit like the mission field up here this morning, but not quite that bad, all right? We're at that point in our series on discipleship where we have arrived at the topic of giving. I don't often preach about giving. I have preached about it on occasion when it seemed called for. It was in the passage or the series called for it. And as we continue with our study here of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, we do need to understand what the Bible says about giving, because this is a very important part of God's will for His people. And the first thing I want you to know about giving is that the doctrine of giving is found throughout the Bible. Like most other important doctrines of the Bible, we find the beginning of the doctrine of giving actually in the book of Genesis, where Cain and Abel brought sacrifices to God from their sources of income, which is a practice then that continued on for thousands of years. We also read in the book of Genesis, chapter 14, that Abraham, after he returned triumphant from defeating the five kings that had plundered Sodom and Gomorrah, and he had all the wealth and treasures of Sodom, he paid tithes to God through the priest of the Most High God, Melchizedek. It says in Genesis 14 that Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand." And he, that is Abram, gave him, Melchizedek, tithes of all. That's all that he had won through conquest with the sword over these kings that had attacked and plundered these people. Then we also read in Genesis 28 that Jacob promised tithes to God at Bethel. He had a meeting with God at Bethel, and he said to God that of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Notice that was not just a one-time gift that Jacob said that he was going to give, but really a lifetime commitment, probably something that he had learned from his godly father Isaac and his grandfather Abraham, that when he was here meeting with God at Bethel, getting himself right with God, he committed to give God a tenth of everything that God gave to him. Then, in the law, tithing became mandatory for all Israelites. Moses in the law included that at God's direction. Leviticus 27 says, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof." That means if you wanted to keep your crop or whatever, your harvest, you had to actually pay 120% instead of your tithe. And he says, "Concerning the tithe of the herd or the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord." Deuteronomy 14, verse 22 says, "Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year." Some commentators believe this passage is talking about a second tithe upon the 90% that was remaining after the first tithe. I'm not sure that that's the case, but we do know that the tithes in the law were intended for the support of the Levites. They were to bring those tithes in so that those that served God full time would be supported by them. Also, these tithes were in addition to other sacrifices and offerings that were prescribed for God's people in the law. And in addition to all those things, they were also supposed to leave the gleanings in their fields for the poor. And then Malachi, the last Old Testament prophet, rebuked the nation of Israel for not tithing. We read in Malachi 3:8, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me." This is God speaking. "And yet ye say, wherein have we robbed thee?" And the answer was, "In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. All right, so what we see here is that giving really is discussed from the very first book of the Old Testament all the way to the last book of the Old Testament. Then moving to the New Testament, we see the Lord Jesus approved of tithing. He said in Matthew 23:23, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin," even their spices. They would cut out a tenth of it and give that to God. And the problem was that they had omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done. They needed to do judgment, mercy, and faith, but then the Lord Jesus also said, and not to leave the other undone. That's talking about the giving of their tithes. So the Lord Jesus approved of tithing. Really, it was a given, I believe, in the mind of the Lord, that they would tithe. But then he especially commended the widow's sacrifice in Mark chapter 12, verse 42. The Lord Jesus made a point of calling his disciples to witness what this widow had done in casting in two mites into the treasury there in the temple. And he said to them, "Verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury, for they did all cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." So all these other folks were throwing in their tithes and gifts and things, and that was good, but the Lord Jesus commended this woman for giving all, for her great sacrificial giving. And then in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul taught the Gentile churches as well about giving. He taught them to give regularly, proportionally, and sacrificially. He said, "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring of your liberality unto Jerusalem." All right, so that is just an overview of giving throughout the Bible, the doctrine of giving. But now that brings us to the present, okay? So what do we as believers living in this New Testament dispensation now, what do we need to know and do about giving? Well, first of all, let me say, if we were living in Old Testament times, this would be a different message. Because in Old Testament times, I guess if we were talking about giving, and we would simply explain the exact requirements that were spelled out in the law, because tithes and offerings were a legal requirement under the Mosaic law. But New Testament giving is different because we are no longer bound by those specific requirements of the law about tithes and offerings, but there are still some principles that we need to understand and we need to apply. Folks, believers today are not exempt from giving. Giving was not for Old Testament saints only, but rather God expects us to give, and he has also outlined some important principles in his word to guide our giving. And so for the next couple of Sundays, we're going to be talking about giving, New Testament giving. And we're going to start out talking about the timeless principle of tithing, and then we're also going to talk about some additional principles of giving from the New Testament, along with some practical applications of those principles. But our emphasis here in these messages is upon steps of discipleship, because that's what we are talking about in this series. We're talking about the commands, the principles, the imperatives that we've been given in the Word of God, those things that outline to us what is the will of the Lord Jesus for us, so that we might continue in His Word, so that we might keep His Word and do those things that he has laid out for us, understanding that being a disciple of Jesus Christ means I'm following the Lord Jesus as my Lord and my Master, and whatever he says goes, okay? And so we're learning about steps of discipleship. Now, as some have pointed out, the New Testament does not mandate any specific percentage or amount for believers to give. And so sometimes that brings then the question, is tithing for today? Are we supposed to be tithing? as New Testament believers? Is that still the will of God for believers in this dispensation? Or was that just for people in the Old Testament? Is there any command in the Scripture that is addressed to believers today that we are supposed to tithe? Well, I believe the answer to that question is yes. And we find it here in Proverbs chapter number 3, verses 9 and 10. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, you're talking about New Testament giving and you're going to be preaching this morning out of the Old Testament? That's exactly right. Contrary to what some people might say, the Old Testament is not irrelevant. Now, the New Testament completes our Old Testament revelation and sheds light upon that Old Testament revelation, but folks, the Old Testament still has application for God's people today. And that is certainly true for the timeless principle of tithing that we find outlined for us here in this text in Proverbs chapter number 3. We're talking about that principle of tithing right here in God's Word. I have 2 points for you this morning. First of all, we're going to learn about the principle of giving the first fruits from verse number 9. And then we're going to talk about God's promise to those who give the first fruits in verse number 10. But let's look at Proverbs 3. And let's read verses 9 and 10 together so we get them together because they go together. Verse 9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now there in verse 9, the principle of giving the first fruits. The word substance refers to our material goods. We're talking here about honoring God through giving. Okay, but then the verse also goes on to say more specifically, honor Him with the first fruits of all your increase. Honor Him out of your material possessions and with the first fruits of all increase. Now, the words increase and first fruits there are terms from the realm of agriculture. All right, so the first fruits referred to the first tenth, which belongs to the Lord. And then the word increase means yield or profits or gain. So the idea of an increase is putting a kernel of corn into the ground, one seed of corn into the ground, and getting thousands of kernels back from that resulting plant that grows from that one seed. The idea of an increase is two cows produce a whole herd in time. All right, so the increase is the return that we receive upon our work. All right, so in the realm of agriculture, the farmer goes out, he works hard, and he gets an increase, a harvest, a multiplication of his wealth. Okay, and that is the idea of the increase. We're talking the equivalent for most of us today, unless we're involved directly in agriculture, perhaps. But the equivalent for most of us today would be a paycheck, because that is the return that we get for our hard work. That is our yield, okay, our profit or our gain upon our investment of hard work. And so the imperative that we have here in verse number 9 is that we are to honor the Lord by giving the first tenth of that increase back to Him, because it all came from Him in the first place, okay? So we're giving it back to Him. And this idea of honoring God is a very important concept in the Scripture. The word honor, the Hebrew word, means to ascribe weight or impressiveness to someone, okay? And so honoring the Lord means to glorify Him or to worship Him or to magnify Him or to make Him big in our lives by putting Him in first place. And that's what we're supposed to do as Christians, all right? The book of Revelation, chapter 4, verse 11 says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created thy all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. What is the purpose of your life? Why did God create you? He created you to bring Him glory and honor and power, to give Him everything that He has given to you by virtue of giving you life, of making you a person and being your creator. We see that same principle in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. What should God, the eternal King, receive from us as his people? He should receive honor and he should receive glory. And there are many ways that we as believers can honor the Lord in our lives. But one specific way is outlined for us here in our text. And it is that whatever material blessings God sends your way, believer, that you should give then that first tenth back to him. That is the principle of the first fruits. We honor the Lord by honoring him out of our substance with that first fruits of all of our increase. And this principle and this practice of tithing or giving the first fruits was not just for the Old Testament dispensation only, okay? It is a timeless expectation of God for his people. And I want to share at least three reasons why we can say that. First of all, because of the larger biblical context. The larger biblical context, as I have already shown you this morning, is that tithing predated the Mosaic law, okay? Tithing did not start with the law. It was included in the law, but it began long before that. So the larger biblical context, we see that tithing predated the law. Secondly, we also have the book context here, the book of Proverbs. Folks, the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom from God that has application for every dispensation, okay? The wisdom of Proverbs was not just for Old Testament believers only. I read the book of Proverbs on a daily basis. And I can't really even think of anything in the book of Proverbs right off the top of my head that would apply only to people living in the Old Testament dispensation. All right, God has given us this book so that we can learn wisdom as well, and so we can put into practice these principles of wisdom that this book contains. It has always been right to honor God with the first fruits, and it still is, you see. And notice as well that the motive for why we should do that is outlined for us in this passage. We should do it because we want to honor God out of hearts of love for him. We honor him because we love him. Yes, tithing was a legal requirement in the Old Testament dispensation of the law. But even in that Old Testament dispensation, folks, God wanted the person's heart before he wanted their sacrifices. God always wants the hearts of his people, and he loves gifts that are given out of a heart of love. And this verse here expresses that truth very beautifully, that we are to honor God through giving our first fruits. We have an opportunity to make God big in our lives by giving to him in this way. So we have the larger biblical context, we have the book context, we also have the immediate context here, which is that this immediate passage contains several timeless principles of wisdom. Would you look back to verse number 5 with me, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Look at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. A wonderful principle there about God's leadership in our lives. I dare say that none of us would want that to be for the Old Testament saints only, right? No, we want to be able to lean, we want to be able to claim that promise today, and it has application today because God still directs our paths today if we will do what this passage says and trust in him with all of our hearts and lean not into our own understanding and acknowledge him in all of our ways. Now, would you drop down to verse number 11? Look at verse number 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Those verses express a timeless principle of the Scriptures. It applies to the New Testament as well. As a matter of fact, these verses are quoted verbatim in Hebrews chapter number 11. So the principle of tithing, of the first fruits that we see here, this principle in this immediate context is in the midst of timeless principles of wisdom. This is another one, the timeless principle of giving the first fruits. Whatever increase God gives you, you honor him by giving that first tenth to him. Now, how do we apply the concept? Let's talk about the application of it. I have 2 points for you here. Break it down. First of all, give the first tenth. Give the first tenth. Not the last tenth, or whatever is left over after you pay your other bills or spend money on other things that you want to spend money on. Isn't it kind of ironic how when it's time to give, we can feel so constrained about giving. Well, I really can't afford to give generously to the Lord. But then, how easily we can find money to spend on ourselves when we want to do so. How easily we can find money for a pizza on Friday night, if that's what we want. I mean, we think nothing about that. I want a pizza, I'll spend that money on a pizza. I want a cup of coffee, I'll spend that money on a cup of coffee. If I want us to buy some big ticket item for myself, hey, I need that, I'll buy that for myself. And then when it comes time to give, many times we feel constrained. Oh, I don't know that I can give generously to the Lord because, I mean, I got all these bills here. I got all these obligations. I got all these things, these commitments, financial commitments here. I don't really know that I can afford to honor God in giving. So what we need to do is we need to give the first tenth to the Lord. Give to Him before you spend money on other things. You know, many, many Christians give what is convenient to God. Rather than being tithers, they are quote-unquote tippers. You know what a tipper is? A tipper is that person that, you know, every now and then the offering plate comes by, I throw a dollar bill in there, I throw a $5 bill in there, maybe I throw a $20 bill in there. And I'm feeling really generous about that point with God. You know, oh, look at me, I'm giving God a 20 today. That could just be being a tipper. That's a whole lot different from being a tither. And giving God a full tenth of all your increase. You know, if we just throw a dollar bill, $5 bill in the offering plate every now and then, we kind of treat God like the waitress at the restaurant or our hairdresser or whatever, we're not really making God very big, are we? By giving in that way? I mean, is that really honoring God? Is that really lifting Him up? Is that adding weight and impressiveness to His reputation? Is that making Him big in the eyes of others, bringing glory to His name? I would suggest that being a tipper doesn't really make God look very big. Makes Him look rather small. It makes Him look like He's kind of at the bottom of our list of priorities instead of putting Him in the first place. I love a quote from Matthew Henry. I've quoted it to many of you in the past in different circumstances, but Matthew Henry said, "It is right that he who is the first should have the first and be first served." Now that's a kind of mentality that truly honors the Lord. So, first of all, you want to apply the principle of giving the first fruits. Give the first tenth. As whenever God blesses you, whenever you receive a return on your hard work and investment, whenever you are prospered by God, then you set aside that first tenth for Him. And you give that before other things. Then the second principle would be, give on every increase. Give on every increase. Because the verse says, honor Him with the first fruits of all thine increase. It doesn't just say some, does it? Or a little bit. It says all. Okay, so this should be a universal thing. With all of our every increase. So that would include, what would that include? Let me just give you some practical applications of this principle. Okay, it would include your paycheck. All right? And I believe that would include your gross paycheck. That's what I do. I tithe on my gross paycheck. Because, I mean, those deductions, I mean, what, you know, they're deducted for things. Those are being deducted on my behalf. That's part of what God has blessed me with, even if I'm not seeing it right now, okay? So you give on, you tithe on your paycheck. I think it would also include things like cash gifts that you receive from people. I think it would include tax refunds if you get free money from the government. as many people do today. Now, if you're just getting back money that you paid in taxes that was already tithed on, then I don't think that would mean you need to tithe on that again. But if you're just getting free money from rich Uncle Sam, you know, that he borrowed from China or whatever, then you need to that would be an increase, I think. Insurance settlements. I think if you're pocketing the money, then I think that would probably be something that should be tithed on. At least everything above what you paid into the insurance would be an increase. Now, if you're putting that money back into an asset to repair it or something, then I personally wouldn't tithe on that. Miscellaneous blessings and benefits that come your way. And you know what? Other people might apply the principle somewhat differently than what I have suggested to you there. And that's okay. All right? Because we are not talking about legal adherence to the law. We are talking about applying a principle from God's Word. But it is always best to err on the side of making God big, honoring Him. I remember the first time that we applied for a home loan. we were getting a loan with no down payment. And so as a part of that process, we were required to disclose budget information. We had to show them our budget and, you know, that we could afford this house payment and all that. So we were going through that process, and somebody asked me in the course of that, if I would consider giving less to my church, because I disclosed my budget and I was tithing and I think I was giving to missions, Faith Promise Missions as well at that point, and so, you know, they thought, hey, your budget would work a whole lot better if you would give less to God. Well, I explained to them, no, that really wasn't going to be an option. We weren't going to take that advice. But see, even in that situation, and of course, normally we don't disclose how we give and all of that. I don't think that's wise, but in that case, I didn't really have a choice. But in that situation, the fact that I was really tithing and giving generously to the Lord was a good testimony to that unbeliever and allowed him to see a picture of a type of giving that I think really is what God desires, honoring Him by putting Him first. So although we don't normally disclose our tithes, tithing can be a testimony in certain situations. It's a way that we honor the Lord. So that is the principle of giving the first fruits. We honor God by giving the tithe to Him. Now let's go to point number two, and let's talk about the promise that God gives to those who give the first fruits. Let's go back to verse number 10. Verse number 10 says, so, that is, in the case that you're doing verse number 9, here's the outcome, verse 10, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. This is what God says that He will do for those who put Him first by tithing. Verse 10 is not the reason that we should tithe. It is the result of tithing. This is not our primary motivator, and yet God does tell us that He will bless us because He wants to strengthen our faith and to encourage us to give. God says that if we will honor Him with our first fruits, then He will bless us with material abundance. And the picture that we have here in this verse is, again, in that agricultural context of an agricultural abundance. God will take our quote-unquote less, okay, that part of our increase that we have left over after we have tithed to the Lord. He will take that less and He will make it into more. And there are many believers who could testify to seeing God work in that way and being on the receiving end of that kind of generosity from God, that when they stepped out in faith, trusting God, and they tithed, then God took their 90% and He made it more than 100%. And usually he does that in a way that, well, he always does it in a way that, brings the glory to himself. So what we see here, folks, you take verses 9 and 10 together. They tell us that tithing, giving the first fruits, is a matter of both obedience and blessing. Verse 9 highlights the side of obedience. Because it's an imperative, okay? The word honor there is stated as an imperative. It's stated as a command. It's an imperative that we should obey. And you think about this as well. It says, honor the Lord by giving him the first fruits of all your increase. What is the opposite of honoring God? I mean, that would be dishonoring God, right? So if we honor God by giving him the first fruits of all of our increase, what are we doing if we do not give him the first fruits of all of our increase? We're dishonoring him. And folks, God is not going to bless that. So if we're dishonoring God, God won't bless it. I shared this illustration a while back when I touched on tithing in a Sunday night message, but there was a time in our married life when I stopped tithing soon after we were married. I was working a job where I got paid once a month. First of the month, we got a check in the mail. Had to last all month. And I wasn't making a lot of money. We were keeping our living expenses low, but that was a good thing because we weren't getting much on the front end either. So things were tight. Well, this one particular month, I got my check the first of the month. And I had a number of bills that were already kind of in line there. And I never really intended not to tithe, but I just paid some other things first. I just thought I'll get around to the tithing later. And guess what? I never had the money that month to tithe. Well, the next month came and I did the same thing again. And then another month and again. And I remember after this went on for maybe, oh, 3-4 months or so, I was on the phone with my dad one night. I was complaining to him, you know, here we are, we're living on this limited income, and God knows that we don't have money for car repairs, and we're going into the doctor, it seems like we're having all these extra expenses. And the first thing my dad said was, are you tithing? And I was convicted because I was not. And so that spring, I had to go back. I had a little bit of tax return money. As the way I recall the way it worked out is when I got some extra, I went back and tithed on what I hadn't tithed on before. And I learned a very important principle, and that is that not tithing is dishonoring God, and he doesn't bless it. Now, the flip side of the coin is, verse 10 says, if you will honor God, he will bless it. So tithing is a matter of obedience, and verse 10, it's a matter of blessing. If you will honor God, he will honor you in return. That's that principle that we read in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. God says, them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. So that goes both ways. We dishonor God, we despise him, we're not going to be blessed. If we honor him, he delights to honor us. So if you dishonor God, he will not bless it. But if you will honor the Lord by giving your first fruits, you will never regret it. I remember many years ago, a man came to me and asked me for some counsel. He asked me if he should be tithing, considering the fact that his finances were not in good shape. And so he had some financial struggles and things. And so the question was, basically, you know, I can't really afford to tithe. You know, should I be tithing? And so I counsel him that he should begin tithing. He should begin honoring God and putting God first. And it wasn't too long after that that I found out and heard this man had gotten a new job. And I'm sure that if I gave opportunity for testimony this morning, that others here could share about how they have seen God faithfully meet their needs when they gave. And that's certainly been true in our lives. So I'll say more about those principles of giving in the weeks to come. But folks, like any other area of obedience to God's word, it does take faith to tithe, doesn't it? See, obedience is always a demonstration of faith. When we do what God says to do, that is faith in action. Let me just read Hebrews chapter 11, and you'll see there, by faith, somebody did something in obedience to God, time and again. So faith is demonstrated by our obedience. It takes faith to tithe. But folks, this is an important step of discipleship. This is something that God wants us to do as we are following the Lord Jesus. He wants us to step out in faith by honoring God, by giving to Him our first fruits. This is one of the basics of the Christian life. And yet the truth of the matter is that many believers are not tithing. They are not giving a true, full tithe of all their increase to the Lord. I once talked to a pastor who had been told by his church treasurer that only 40% of the people in that church were tithing. It was a church, you know, very similar to this one in many ways. And I have absolutely no idea how many people in our church are tithing. I do not look at the giving records. I don't, you know, examine to see who gives what. I've never asked our treasurer how many of people are giving or anything like that. The question simply is, are you tithing? Now, let's just bring it right down to where the rubber meets the road. As a Christian, as a believer, are you currently practicing that step of discipleship in following the Lord? And there is more that we need to learn about giving for New Testament believers. We're just getting started here this morning with the timeless principle of tithing. But let's just talk about that step right now this morning. Believer, are you taking that step? And if not, will you start? Will you start? Let's bow our heads, okay? And the song this morning, the invitation song this morning is going to be number 611. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Because this is really where giving starts. It starts by giving ourselves to God. Now, as our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, let me just say, my friend, again, let me explain. Tithing will never impress God or earn you a ticket to heaven, okay? It's not a work that we do to earn merit or favor from God. That's not why we tithe. So, if you're here this morning and you've been thinking along those lines that, you know, somehow I've got to earn my way to heaven. I've got to try to be good, and hopefully I'll be good enough for heaven. Let me just explain that the first way that you honor God before tithing, okay, the first way you honor the Lord is by honoring His Son, by receiving Him as your personal Lord and Savior. That's how you get started in the Christian life. That's how you become a disciple following Jesus. You begin by obeying the gospel, which is repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. So, my friend, have you done that? Has there been a time in your life when you understood the gospel, that good news? The good news of the gospel is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. And He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. And He was seen. He was seen by over 500 eyewitnesses. And then He ascended into heaven. He's alive today. And He is saving people who will put their trust in Him. All right, so the gospel is Christ died for us upon the cross, that we were the guilty sinners. Christ had to die. He had to go to death because that's the punishment that we deserve for our sin. He took our punishment in our place. Then He rose again the third day, defeating death, and He gives everlasting life to those who will believe in Him with all their heart. And wonder as our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, who would say this morning with an upraised hand, Pastor, there's been a time in my life when I believed the gospel and I was saved. I trusted Christ as my Savior. He washed my sins away and He gave me the gift of everlasting life. Would you slip up your hand if that's true for you, my friend, that you have a testimony that there's been a time in your life when you've been saved and you've received Christ as your Savior?